Only one life will soon be passed. Only what's done for Christ will last. These famous words by the pioneer missionary C.T. Studd have been echoed by many others who sought to live their lives for something that will last, for to make their lives count as they sought to serve God locally and globally. Nearly 2,000 years before C.T. Studd was ever around, another young man wanted his life to count for Christ. He said, "For me to live is Christ and to die is gain." He also said he considers his life worth nothing. His only aim was to finish the race, to complete the task the Lord Jesus had given to him, the task of testifying to the good news of God's grace alone. And today we join this young man at the end of his first missionary journey. It's the Apostle Paul. As he seeks to make his life count, we're going to look at how Paul made his life count for eternity and consider how we could even make our lives count for eternity. Now, I've made a massive assumption today. I do it quite often at home. But I've made a massive assumption that the day you want to make your life count, that as you lie on your deathbed one day, you want to look back and say, "I've got no regrets. I've not wasted my life." I've assumed that you don't want to gain the whole world and forfeit your soul. I've assumed that you one day want to enter your heavenly rest and to hear the Lord Jesus welcome you in and say, "Well done, good and faithful servant." Those are some of the assumptions I come to this text and to you today. And so far in the book of Acts, we've seen in Acts 1, Jesus ascend to heaven and leave his followers with the words of Acts 1:8, that you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in Judea and Samaria, and right to the ends of the earth. And behold, I will be with you always. And the disciples are left going, "Well, how are we going to do this? What is the master plan? What's the 5-year plan? The 10-year plan? What is the strategic vision? What is the master's plan in all of this?" And as we have journeyed through Acts, and particularly the second half of Acts, we see what the plan is: to go around telling people about Jesus, and as they are converted, assemble together in a church, send folks from that church to another area where folks don't know about Jesus, tell them about Jesus, create another church there, and go to another town, another church, another town, another church, another continent, another church. God's master plan for the evangelization of this world is through the local church and believers telling others about Jesus. It's that simple, and yet, as we know, it's that hard. This is plan A. We are plan A, and there is no plan B. The master's plan for the evangelization of the world is through the bride of Christ, the church, the global church made up of a series of local expressions in the local church, that one day Christ is going to come and to take his bride home to be with him forever. You see, I was thinking this week, what is the only thing that we can take from this life to heaven? The only thing that we've been taken from this world to heaven is the church and the relationships that we have within the church and what we have done in the church and to reach those outside as a church. That's what's going to be taken to heaven. Our houses aren't going. Our cars aren't going. I don't think my car would get anywhere near it. It barely gets up and down Hamilton Road. But we're not taking anything. Our jobs, our careers, we are taking relationships with us to heaven. The relationships that we have within the church, because we're all going to be there. And the efforts that we have made to go and tell every tribe, tongue, and nation about Christ. So how to make your life count, I believe, is to give your life to Christ and to live your life through the local church to tell others about Christ. That's what Paul's was. So let's see how Paul sought to make his life count. Firstly, he decided that he was going to be part of the local church. In Acts 13:1, Paul had a dramatic conversion in Acts 9 on the road to Damascus. He was a persecutor of the church, and Christ encountered him. He gave his life to Christ. He was then baptized, and then he joined the local church here in Antioch. In Antioch, in Acts 13, 1, Paul is in a list of teachers in this local church who taught there. He became part of the local church, he and Barnabas. Imagine the welcome into that church that Paul got. Paul used to kill their brothers and sisters, families, aunts and uncles, other churches, and Paul is welcomed in. He breaks bread with them together. Imagine how important those relationships were in the church, how encouraged the church were that the number one persecutor of the church is now one of them. Paul made his life count by saying, I'm going to identify with this group of believers. I'm going to work with them. I'm going to be salt and light with them. I'm going to be a beacon to the world around through this local church. I'm going to pray beside them. I'm going to bear with them. I'm going to love them. I'm going to learn from them. And I think if we want to make the most of our lives, we need to be part of the local church. Be here as often as we can, to give where you can, to begin where you are and do what you can, to be developed in your faith, to use your gifts, as we'll see later on. But can you imagine if Paul and Barnabas weren't too keen on the local church? I don't like the preaching. I don't like the dress code. I don't like the songs. There's not the kids' work that I want. There's too much kids' work. I don't like the young people and how they dress. There's too many young people. I don't like the version of the Bible that they read. Can you imagine if Paul and Barnabas weren't that thrilled about the local church? They would never have been propelled by that church into Europe to bring the gospel ultimately to Europe and now to us. The church is God's plan to bring salvation to the ends of the earth. Can I encourage you? I know I'm preaching to the converted largely, but to be part of it, if you want your life to count. Secondly, use your gifts in the church as well. I'm pretty sure Paul and Barnabas just didn't rock up at Antioch Baptist. I'm sure it was at Baptist. That's a joke for any. I'm sure they didn't just go and warm the seats every Sunday. I'm sure they didn't go just to critique what went on. They went there to use their gifts. Acts 13, 1 again, has Paul and Barnabas named among the teachers of the church. Barnabas is world renowned for being an encourager in the church. So before going off to any other land, from town to town, city to city, before writing the 13 letters that he wrote in the New Testament that we now hold, Paul was placed in a local church to develop and to hone his gifts, to fan his gift into flame. Can you imagine the first midweek that he spoke at? He's good. Can you imagine the first person Barnabas went up to encourage? C.T. Sud again, I'll quote, says, the light shines furthest, shines brightest nearest home. The light that shines furthest shines brightest nearest home. Paul and Barnabas shone their lights in their local church before thinking about the far ends of the earth. And the Bible is quite clear to us that every believer has a particular gift to use in the church. Our gifts are given to us for the good of the church, for the good of others. They're not given to us so that we look good. It's so that others are built up and encouraged in their faith. So as you come to church, as you're part of Hamilton Road Baptist Church, can I encourage you to use your gifts within the church for the good of the church? If you don't come and if you don't use your gifts, you are losing out on blessing, but you're also losing out on others being blessed through you as well. Can I encourage you to use your gifts, whatever they are, whether it's a gift of help, administration, teaching, encouragement, whatever gift you have, to use it. I believe Hamilton Road Baptist is a church that is today, and we can do the things that we do today, not because of the pastors or the elders or the staff, but because of the members here all using their gifts and their time, treasure, and talent. We were able to welcome hundreds of people to the church barbecue yesterday. Why? Because you all used your gifts. Johnny and I done nothing. The elders done nothing for yesterday other than annoy the organizers. But you served the wider community so well. And I believe yesterday we have made our lives count for eternity through that one event. But if you're not currently using your gifts in the church, can I encourage you, join others and to use your gifts? There's so many opportunities. We long at this church for every member ministry. It's got to be our goal, isn't it? Can't be left to the few. We have a world to reach, a town to reach. We long for every member ministry. What is God calling you to do in this season, I wonder? Thirdly, support those who go from your church. Paul and Barnabas are in this local church in Antioch in Acts 13, verse 3, and they are sent out. Their gifts are recognized, but they are sent out to go and to tell others. You see, every gospel worker needs to be supported by a gospel church and a praying church through their words of encouragement, through their gifts. Here, the church of Antioch, do you know who the members were? No. Unnamed saints who made their lives count for eternity because they supported Paul and Barnabas who went to tell others about Christ. You may not be the ones to go, but you can be the ones to support, to pray and to give, to offer words of encouragement. Throughout church history, there have been churches who supported people who have gone to the ends of the earth. And today, it's even easier than ever to support those who go. You can be in WhatsApp groups for regular updates. And the great thing is, you can actually reply to WhatsApps. And you can reply to email prayer letters to instantly encourage them as they've sent, as they've labored. Or words of encouragement as they send pictures, as we send videos. So many missionaries sent out from here being encouraged by contact from home. Or that gift that you are prompted to give that just meets a particular need for them at the time. And the great thing is to be a supporting church. We all get to be part of it. It's not just from the church budget. It can be from each of our walls, from each of our phones, from each of the letters that we send. This is not reserved for the few. This is for everybody. Hamilton Monroe Baptist has such a legacy of supporting Christian workers through history. I think the statistics are 60 workers in the last 60 years have gone from here. I've heard your prayers on Wednesday evenings for the nations. I've seen some of the support that's been given to individuals who have gone from here. And I know that I'm only scraping the surface as to what I have heard. But maybe God is calling us to excel still more in this area. To continue to support Sam Cowan, Philip Moore, Sam Urey, Peter Carrigan, Michael and Christine, Stephen Castles, Gary Richmond, Caleb Kyle, Reese Loftus, the Jacksons. What about supporting other Christian workers and Christian ministries like Lindsay Holt, Biblica, Jen McLaughlin, Christians in Sport, Andrew Kyle, Tear Fund, and I'm sure there's others I've left out. What about the three projects in Myanmar, Spain, and North Africa? What great chances we have to make our life count by supporting those who've gone from here to the ends of the earth. What about supporting those who go in short-term teams in the Shankill here at the church? If you are an encourager, please use your gifts to encourage those who've gone from here. The church at Antioch, many unknown, made their lives count by supporting Paul and Barnabas. Fourthly, and we're just getting to our actual passage, hold on tight. But Paul sought to make his life count by preaching to win disciples and to plant churches. Verse 21 says, they preached the gospel in that city and won a large number of disciples. Paul is currently in Derbe, and it's a town in modern-day Turkey. He's just left Lystra after being stoned and left for dead. He got there via Iconium, where he was chased out of town for preaching the gospel. So what has God called them to do in Derbe? Well, to keep on preaching, to keep on telling people about Jesus, one-to-one, or up in front of the crowd. God's methods of bringing people to himself are so simple. Just tell them, just share the Bible with them, preaching and teaching one-to-one evangelism. And 2,000 years on, with all of the technological advances in this world, the methods haven't changed. How is God going to bring people in our land to Christ? Through you and I and others going and telling them, God the Holy Spirit opening blind eyes. How is he going to build his church in North Africa? through one-to-one telling people about Jesus, God opening blind eyes and the church forming. In the many towns throughout Ireland, how's God going to work by people going there and telling others about Jesus? God opening blind eyes, churches formed, and communities established. In Tamerlane Road Baptist, we need to keep on preaching the word. We need to keep on telling our kids in Lighthouse, in Kids Academy, in Live Wires about Jesus. We need to continue to open up here on a Friday and to tell young people about Jesus. We need to preach and teach to them about Jesus. What is the purpose of the preaching that we do? Why are we so head up in preaching here in our church? Why do we want to train more preachers in this church and outside this church? Well, because it's God's way of working through history. And be God's way of working tomorrow and the next day to win disciples. Not decisions. Paul and Barnabas weren't too interested in sending records of how many people raised their hand at the end of an evangelistic appeal. No, they wanted to know how many disciples there were. They preached to win disciples, not decisions. So important for us as well. We're in the work of making disciples, not having people just make decisions. We follow Paul on his journey. Derbe is at the end of his journey. He now heads back to base camp at Antioch. Is he going to go through other towns that are on reach? Well, interestingly, no, he goes back the way that he has come so he can go to other churches and encourage them along the way. So the fifth way that Paul sought to make his life count was to be strengthening disciples in churches. Paul and Barnabas went over this old ground in the towns that they were thrown out of so that they could strengthen the disciples there in verse 22a. Literally, this is popping the disciples up and supporting them. Now I have a young baby at home and he needs propped up and supported. I have a 3-year-old at home and sometimes he needs propped up and supported as well. I have a 6, nearly 7-year-old at home, and he needs propped up and supported as well. In fact, we all need propped up and supported in our house. And we all need propped up and supported in the church as well. We all need each other. We all need to grow in grace. We all need to be fed, nourished, and supported, whatever age or stage we're at. And that's why we gather around on Sundays to hear God's word, so we are supported. And I'm so thankful to those in our church who lead small groups or growth groups to strengthen disciples in our church. I'm so thankful to Frank and Trevor and their team today who will gather at 3 p.m. for Memory Lane Church to strengthen people through that particular ministry. Your ministry is part of the reason that your life will count if you're in the business of supporting the disciples in churches. It isn't just supporting sickly. Paul goes on to encourage disciples in the churches as well and encouraging them to remain true to the faith. He's saying, don't depart from what I have taught you. Don't go back to the old way of living. Don't believe some other gospel. Paul actually writes the book of Galatians back to these churches as well later on. He says, I can't believe how quickly you're turning to other gospels. Don't do it. Finish the race. I believe people in these churches finish their life of faith and race of faith because of the encouragement of Paul and Barnabas. It's possibly through preaching, it's possibly through one-to-one counseling. But I wonder today, in your life, who is there that you could encourage? Through a text, phone call, an email, an offer of a coffee, an offer to babysit, an offer to help with groceries. We all need encouragement because we're all prone to wander and prone to get discouraged. We all need encouragement because we have a very real enemy seeking whom he will devour. We all need encouragement because there is a constant attack on the unity in churches, so we all need encouragement to continue to be united. What young person could you contact this week to encourage them? What ministry leader could you reach out to encourage to press on? What older person could you touch base with this week? Encouraging others in their faith will make your life count for eternity. And as you walk through those pearly gates and hear those words, well done, good and faithful servant, thanks for encouraging the saints at Hamilton Road Baptist and beyond. Isn't just strengthening and encouraging. Seventh way, Paul goes on to make his life count is to warn the disciples in churches as well. It says, we must go through many hardships to enter the kingdom of God at the end of verse 22. Paul and Barnabas are honest about the Christian life. They're saying it's going to be hard. There's going to be many hardships. There's going to be trials. There's going to be distresses. Paul writes in 2 Corinthians 6, 4-5 about troubles, hardships, and distresses, about hard work, sleepless nights, and hunger, never mind being shipwrecked and having the 39 lashes received. Paul's own experiences of suffering at Antioch, Iconium, and Lystra was possibly led him to a certain 2 Timothy 3:10 that everyone who wants to live a godly life will be persecuted. If you're going through hardships today, if you're feeling persecuted today for whatever reason, this is the way of the Christian life. It's not a bed of roses to heaven. No, it's through many dangers, toils, and fears. I have already come. We keep going. What will make our lives count? Well, Paul's example and exhortation of a life of suffering, I believe. I got the privilege of visiting two people this week, both going through pretty difficult times of an illness and another of bereavement. And both of them said, Keith, you know what? God is good. But these times will come, and we've got to press on. What an example, an exhortation of them to me as I go out to try to minister to them. As you go through your trials and hardships in life, be the example and exhortation to others in the church to encourage them. But Paul and Barnabas are now going to leave these churches, and they're going to make their way back to home base. So what are they going to leave for the churches for the long term? Well, turn to verse 23:8. They're going to appoint elders in churches. Paul and Barnabas appointed elders for the church in each church. A group of individuals needs leaders for guidance, support, and direction. And the church is no different. Sure, it's not. In every town they went to, Paul and Barnabas appointed elders as soon as they were ready to be appointed. And those elders were continued to lead the church forward in the absence of the church planters. They were men to be entrusted with the gospel to pass it on to others, totally equal with everybody else in the congregation, just a different function. And it's worth saying here that the elders in churches are always plural. It always talks about elders. It doesn't talk about the elder. It talks about elders. They're always plural and they're always local. Local churches need local and plural elders. And Paul is more concerned about their character than their ability. In the pastoral letters in Timothy and Titus, he sets out what the characteristics of these men would be, and he's more interested in their character than any human abilities that they have. But they do have to have the ability to teach. Why? So they can pass on the message to others. And having the New Baptist Church, so thankful throughout the 115 years that we have been here, of shepherds of this flock who have served it so faithfully. And my time in 15 of those 115 years, we give thanks for godly men who have led and encouraged me along the way that I've come to be able to serve alongside and learn from. We think of Raymond Pitt, Paul Brown, Trevor Wallace, Dory Holly, Andrew Brown, Chris Watt, David Steele, Johnny McLaughlin. These are faithful men who have served you so well. Can I encourage you to be thankful for them? And can I encourage you to consider what role in a church you could have, possibly a leadership role in this church or another, maybe even as an elder? That's one way to make your life count, to serve the church by shepherding it and caring for it and praying for it. It may mean turning other things down in life, job, prospects, to devote yourself to this work. It's hard work, but it's God's work. It's eternal work, and it's good work. Maybe you're thinking, Keith, well, I'm never going to be an elder or a leader in a church. Well, Paul also goes on to pray for the elders in the church as well with prayer and fasting. They committed them to the Lord in whom they put their trust. Can encourage you, the elders of this church and other churches need your prayers. Just as Paul and Barnabas were sent forth with prayers from their local church elders set aside with prayer and fasting. In the other of his 13 letters, Paul writes and asks for prayer for him personally. Elders who pray for you need your prayers. Will you commit them to the Lord? Will you pray with us that God will raise up more godly men as elders in this church as we look for a new associate pastor, as we look for new lay elders? Would God continue to lead and guide us to men who would love you and serve you well? This will make your life count by praying for the leaders of your local church. And finally, you'll be so glad to hear the 10th way Paul has sought to make his life count is to report what God has done to churches. He arrives home at Antioch. He gathers the whole church around in verse 27, and he reports what God has done through them. Thank God for the vision of this local church at Antioch, to be concerned with the unreached and to send people to go. And what a blessing for them then to get these people back and to report what God is doing. And we thank God 130 years ago for the Welsh miners who came to Conleague and began a fellowship there. And then they all left. But a few years later, Bangor Baptist Church was formed. And 115 years on, we continue to get to hear from people who've gone out from here, like Andrew Reid, Philip Moore, and the Jacksons, who come back to report what God is doing in secular Europe. What a blessing to send them away, to have them come and to tell of people coming to faith and churches planted and the gospel moving to the ends of the earth. But here's the secret of making our lives count. Paul and Barnabas came and they didn't report what they had done. It wasn't about them. It wasn't their Christian holidays around Asia Minor at the time. No, they came back and reported what God had done through them. As we think about our lives, it's not what we can do, but it's what God can do through us. Paul wrote in Galatians 2:20, again back to these churches, it is not I who live, but Christ who lives in me. We can make our lives count by recognizing that there's not much that we can do on our own, but to recognize that God's power is made perfect in our weakness. As I've gone through these crazy points, and hopefully a sermon you'll never forget for the crazy amount of points, if nothing else, do you think, I could never do that? Could Christ do it through you? Hudson Taylor, missionary to China, said, God is not looking for men or women of great faith. He is looking for common men to trust in his great faithfulness. He goes on to say, all of God's giants have been weak men and women who did great things for God because they reckoned on God being with them. Hamilton Root Baptist, can we go on to do great things for God in this next chapter of our church's life? Not because of any ability or great plans that we have. Our plan remains the same, to go out and tell people about Christ and to form local churches. But as you think about making your life count, so that you'll not say one day, I wasted it, can I ask a question to you? What will you give your life to? Hudson Taylor, again, and on this I close, said, if I had £1,000, China should have it. If I had 1,000 lives, China should have them. No, not China, but Christ. Can we do too much for him? Can we do enough for such a precious Savior? Let's pray.